All right, we are going to be starting a new series in the book of James starting next Sunday. But because we had one Sunday in between here, between Advent and the new year, I thought we'd just do something maybe a little topical, maybe to prepare our hearts for the coming year. So I titled this sermon, Where Do We Go From Here? We've been through a lot the last couple years. We're going to have kind of a fresh start. I know it's just another day, but there's just something about starting a new year, isn't there, where we just feel like we have this fresh start to do something different. And I chose this picture. Just imagine we're walking down this path, and you don't really have any particular destination in mind. You're just going for a walk. Which path would you choose?
The right path.
The right path, right? I would choose the right path as well. It looks maybe a little prettier with a little more snow. There's more of a curve. You're kind of wondering what's coming up. And as Bai said, it's the right path. So, but we do have a lot of these types of choices in life, don't we? Where we have a fork in the metaphorical road and we need to choose what are we going to do. We all have plans for the future. Maybe some of us are more goal-oriented. We set these goals and we aim for them. But we all, as we continue on in life, have choices to make. And the choices have consequences, don't they? A lot of times we would say our choices are pretty good. We don't really realize these major consequences. Other times we find out, wow, I probably chose the wrong thing here. And that happens to me often enough. I won't share a lot of the details, but it happens even this year. I found myself in a couple pickles and things like that just from either foolish choices or ignorant choices, and they have consequences. So can each of us, when I say that, do we have a story maybe that pops up into our mind in our own lives where we look back, and it's funny to tell now, but at the time, it wasn't funny. Like, the consequences were great. One of the stories for me was back in 2004. I was going to a Christian college in Saskatchewan, Canada, where I met Leanne, and it was called Briarcrest College. And during fall break, I had made plans. This is fall of 2004. It doesn't sound like that long ago, but that's, 17 years now? So fall break, I was planning on going to my friend Ben's house in Beach, North Dakota. So this is about a 5.5-hour trip from the college in Saskatchewan, Canada. And at that time, I know maybe some of the younger kids here, you can't imagine the time without a lot of internet. We had internet, but it wasn't like on our phones like it is today. So you couldn't just look something up at any moment's notice. And you had to go, you know, rent a spot in the computer lab at the college to use the internet. Or if you were lucky to have a laptop of your own, you know, you had to take time to look all that up. So I did not do my research when it came to looking at the border times, crossing the Canadian-U.S. border. And there was also no cell phone, so you couldn't just call people up. Well, there was cell phones. Poor college student in 2004 usually didn't have one. So I did not have one. I actually used, you remember the international calling cards? You punch in this like 20-digit number. And so that's what I was using when I was in college. And I called my friend Ben. I said, you know, I should be at your house about midnight. I got some things to do here, and it's a long trip. So this is kind of my communication. Not much research. I'm driving all by myself in the dark. I get to the border, and I find out it's closed. I should have looked at the times of the border crossing. Now, there's some ports of entry where they're open 24 hours. The one that I chose was not. So now I'm in a pickle. I need to take a different one to get to Ben's house. But Mr. Communication that I am, I feel like I need to communicate this to Ben because, you know, they might be worrying about me not showing up and things like that. So I park my car at the border crossing. And I get out and I walk around looking for a payphone. This is dumb, right? I'm crossing the border, looking around the building for a payphone, and the border guard pops out and he's got his hand on his gun. You know, and I'm just standing there, I'm a scared college kid. I'm like, what's going on? You know, he gave me quite a scolding, and he gave me instructions to one of the 24-hour border crossings, and he said, don't worry about calling your friend, don't ever do this again. So it kind of scared me, but this is just one example in my life where my choices had consequences. And this choice that I had made to not research and drive to this crossing added an extra 3 hours to my trip. It worried my friends. It almost got me arrested. So we have these choices that have consequences. We want to set goals, don't we, church? And we want to make good plans. We want to be prepared. How many of us here have already made some plans for 2022? Some goals set, maybe vacation, maybe things you want to do this coming year. What about when it comes to spiritually planning? Do we have things in mind that we would like to change in our life, or things we'd like to do as a family or as a church? Do we have plans as we think ahead in 2022? And when we think of those plans, do we ever wonder, is this God's will? Am I walking in God's will as I plan this? So we're going to look at Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 this morning. This is a very popular two verses in the Bible. I'm sure everyone knows these. But this is going to frame our message this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So we're just going to look at this line by line. And this sermon might be a little bit different because I got a few personal stories in this one, more so than normal. But the first line, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What is the definition of trust? Faith, yeah. The firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. So it means that there's something at stake. We're putting faith in something at stake. How many of you guys have been skydiving? Anyone here? Would anyone do it? Let's just say you did it. You'd have to put trust in your parachute, wouldn't you?
I would do it.
You would do it? Yeah, I'm sure you would. You'd have to put trust in that parachute. You'd have to put trust in your instructor and things like that, right? What about if you're just walking through that path in the woods, let's say, and you get to a spot where there's a stream, and the only way to cross the stream is a log? Would you put trust in the log? Maybe, maybe not. Would you put trust in your ability to cross the log? Maybe, maybe not. But what about some things that we do every day? How many of you guys put trust in the other vehicles on the road when you drove here? And you didn't think anything about it, did you? There's just a painted line on the road, but you trusted that yourself and the other drivers would be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. We get so used to these things, we don't realize we're actually putting trust in risk, right? Another thing might be the legs on your chair. You just trusted that chair without even thinking. You just sat down in it, didn't you? But we all do that. We get comfortable with things and we just put trust in them the more that we are exposed to them or have built up faith in that product or thing or whatever it may be. So if that thing is a someone, how do we trust them? How do we build trust in someone? Well, we're talking about the Lord here. The more time that we spend with the Lord and see who he is and how he works, we begin to trust him more and more, don't we? Just like the chair, just like driving here on the road, we realize, wow, this is a normal part of my life now. I can trust the Lord and not doubt him. What are some examples from the Old Testament trusting the Lord? Here's some popular stories. Moses led the people out of Egypt. They get to the Red Sea, and the Lord said, raise up your hands, and the sea parted, and the people had to, in faith, step out and cross the sea to get away from Pharaoh's army, didn't they? They had to put trust in the Lord. Moses holding up his hands for probably hours as millions of Israelites crossed the sea. They all had to trust that the Lord was going to keep that sea parted. Gideon and his 300 men fighting against thousands of Midianites. They had to put trust in the Lord that the Lord was going to win the battle for them with just these few hundred men. That takes trust. doesn't it? Daniel in the lion's den. Another popular story. Daniel needed to trust the Lord, even when he was facing death in a den of lions, that the Lord would protect him. We get all these examples. These are just a few examples in the Bible, but think of all the different stories we read about the Lord doing these miraculous things or just working on his plan, but it was because people put trust in the Lord that these things happened. So what does it mean for us to trust the Lord? I doubt many of us are going to be crossing the Red Sea or fighting Midianites or in a den of lions, but what does it mean in today's day and age to trust the Lord? We fully rely on him no matter what's at stake. So whether that's a disease that we're struggling with, a difficulty at work, or a relationship, maybe it's your finances at home or a family situation. For Leanne and I, maybe it's how we raise the children. We need to trust the Lord to work in those situations so that we make it out okay. Here's another picture. We got two plants here. One is a shrub, kind of withered up in a desert. The other is a large tree by a river. Now, which one of these do you think is going to last the longest? Help me out, kids.
The tree,
right? Which one is most likely to bear fruit and make other trees? The big tree by the water, right? So we get these pictures in everyday life where we can draw biblical wisdom from. And even the writers of the Bible use these types of examples. So just using these two, we read in Jeremiah 17, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land." So the man that trusts in man is like this dried up shrub in the desert. "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." So we get these examples here. That shrub in the desert, that's like a picture of a man trusting in man's ability. If the sun comes out, if no rain comes, maybe someone plucks it out of the sand, it's done. It can't survive. But the man who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by that river. The roots run deep. There's always water for it to draw life from. It continues to grow. It stays healthy. It even produces more fruit. Which tree are we most like if we look at our lives? Let's look at the next line. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I'm going to share another story. This one is important to me. It comes into my mind quite often, usually when I start trusting in my own understanding. And I don't know if I've shared this with some of you guys before, but when we lived in New Jersey 4 or 5 years ago, I had taken Misha into New York City. It was my first time in New York City since moving there. We just kind of zipped in on one train, went to a store, bought her a new dress, and came home. It was just kind of fun to take my daughter to the city. Well, Oscar, being the oldest, he wanted a turn to go into New York City as well. And he really liked the Night at the Museum movie at the time. You guys have seen that. So I said, well, okay, I'll take you to the Museum of Natural History, and we'll get to see some of those things from the movie and just spend Father Sunday. And I had made this trip into New York with Misha about a month before successfully, so I'm kind of cocky already, thinking, you know, a country guy already knows how to navigate around the big city. So I take Oscar in. Now, I don't know if you guys can see it, but this is right about there. It says Bloomfield. This is where we got on the train. That was kind of the closest place that made sense to where we lived. And the plan was, the other pastor at the church there, he lived about a mile away from there. So our plan was to drop the car off at Scott's house. Scott was going to drop us off at the train station. We'd go in on the train. It stops, makes one stop at Watsese, one stop at Secaucus, and then we're in New York, and then we take the subway system from there. So pretty simple. So the plan was to do that, and then when we head home, we just reverse the route. I'd call Scott, he'd pick us up, drive us a mile to his house, and we would go home. Easy enough, right? So everything worked out great on the way in, usually does. We get to the museum, we had fun, we got to see Dum Dum, we got to see the T-Rex and things like that. Lots of fun, right, Oscar?
Yep.
You guys wouldn't believe how much lunch costs there, though. Two slices of pizza and an iced tea was $17. Anyway, so I was getting a shock already of New York City. But, all right, on the way home, take the subway down to Penn Station. We're kind of in a hurry. I see this train. It says Secaucus on it. I'm like, this is the one. We got to get on, Oscar. We just jump on the train.
Hold up. Whoa, 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 whoa.
What's up? All right, well, this is what I remember. You were six at the time, so. So anyway, so we just jump on this train because I see the word Secaucus on it. So I'm like, well, it's going to take us on our route, right? We're going to get right back home. Well, we get on the train, stop in Secaucus. I think the next stop is where we, you know, almost need to get off. Next thing I know, we're just flying. And the ticket lady comes by and she's like, where's your ticket? And, you know, they normally punch it in between the big stops and stuff like that, make sure everyone's where they're supposed to be. I don't have a ticket for our destination, apparently. She's getting mad at me. I say, well, I'll just get off at the next spot and get, you know, reverse my route. She's like, well, our next stop isn't for an hour. Somehow I got on the express train headed to Princeton Junction. Okay, so I know that you can't really tell by this map, but it's about halfway across New Jersey. So it's going to be about an hour before we get there. I'm going to have to wait 45 minutes for the next train, and then it will be an hour back. And I have to go back to the source to get onto the right train to go home. Okay, to make things worse, well, I should tell you, the lady gave me a new ticket. She understood my predicament, had mercy. Gave me a free ticket to get back and get on the right thing. So I'm thankful for that. But to make things worse, at the time, I had an iPhone 4, which is already a pretty old phone, and the battery would last about maybe 1 to 2 hours. So by the time all this happened, my battery's dead. We get back to, you know, really late where we're supposed to be at Bloomfield Station. I can't call Scott because my phone is dead. And now we have to walk a mile to his house after this whole excursion here. And the thing is, this is what sticks with me so much. Because of my choices, we were really late, but I had to go back to the source in order to get back on the right path. Okay? I couldn't just hop on a different train and head straight there. I had to go back to the source. And I think there's a spiritual lesson in there. When we mess up, when we take things in our own strength or our own understanding, a lot of times we find ourselves headed to Princeton Junction, don't we? Way off course. And we need to go back to the source and repent and say, Lord, I need you to set me on the right path. Because when I trust myself, I wind up way out of the way. Not only that, but 6-year-old Oscar had to suffer through all that too. And how often do our choices affect other people? So think about that. When we rely on our own understanding, do we also sometimes lead others astray because we're not relying on our source of wisdom and strength? It turned out okay. We were just really late for dinner.
I think it was really nice
dinner. Well, you made a lot of chicken wings. That's what the dinner was. I was looking forward to it, but we were very late. But there again, you know, we worried Leanne. I couldn't call her. We worried Scott. He was wondering why we weren't back at the time we said we would. It's because I relied on my own understanding. Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This is what we did this morning, didn't we? We acknowledged the Lord and his goodness to us in our prayer time. We thought back. We took time to just stop and be still and think back. How has the Lord been good to us? How do we acknowledge him and all his blessings and how that affects our lives? Think back on these stories. Do you think Moses told the story to his grandchildren or great-grandchildren? Yeah, Pharaoh's army was chasing us, and I just lifted up my arms, and I parted the sea. No, he didn't do that, did he? He acknowledged that the Lord was the one that defeated the enemy. The Lord is the one that saved them. Gideon, again, you think he just said, yeah, I beat all those Midianites with just 300 guys. That was all me. I came up with that plan. No, he acknowledged the Lord is the victor. 300 guys cannot beat tens of thousands of men. That's the Lord. Daniel, too. You think he's the lion whisperer? No, those were hungry lions. I'm sure he acknowledged the Lord as being the Savior. God did it. Who gets acknowledged for being the victor in just about every single story of the Bible? God. But who gets acknowledgement for the good things that happen in our life? If you guys are like me, a lot of times we're tempted to take the credit ourselves, aren't we, when we find success? But think about it. The Lord does it. Even if it was your choices that brought about some of those good things, the Lord gave you the ability and the knowledge and the wisdom to do it. All things, all good things are from the Lord. James 1, 17 to 18 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God is good all the time. And all blessings come from him. Do we live our lives acknowledging that? Last line. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Last personal story this morning. There was one time when we were living up north in Wisconsin, and I started walking crooked. When I walked sideways. Couldn't figure it out. I thought maybe I had a pinched nerve in my neck. So this is after chiropractic hours, but we knew the chiropractor personally, and we called her up, and we drove 15 minutes into town, and she got me in there, because this, I mean, it was really bad. I could not walk straight at all. And she did her adjustment on me, and it didn't help. I was still walking crooked. And she said, well, I got one more thing for you to try. And she told me about the Epley maneuver. So I know this is going to sound a little bit weird, but we actually have some rocks in our ears. I don't know how all this stuff works, but if one of those rocks that kind of gives you balance falls out and gets into your ear canal in the wrong spot, your balance is off. So even though you have the ability to walk straight, you're going to walk crooked because your balance is off inside. So she told me about this maneuver to kind of lay your head certain ways for a couple minutes, and then you sit up and the rock will fall back to where it's supposed to be and everything's fine. Well, I did this, and it worked just great. And it wasn't till after that that I remembered I hit my head. She had asked me when I went in to see her, did you hit your head? I'm like, no, I don't know. Well, once I did this, all of a sudden my memory came back as well, and I probably had a concussion or something. I did not remember getting my head hit until that rock was back in the spot. But my point in all this is, it wasn't till the inside was fixed that my outward actions were set straight. Does that make sense? It wasn't till the thing inside my ear was fixed that I was able to walk straight. And again, I think there's a spiritual lesson in all of that as well. Once we're right on the inside, once we're made right here, we will begin, our outward actions will follow that. It will reflect what's going on here. So when we think about this, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will make straight your paths. When are our paths straight? When our heart is set in trusting in the Lord. When we're not leaning on our own understanding and we're praising him for all his goodness. That's when we're going to be walking straight. So again, do we have a firm belief in God in everything we are and everything we have? Are we letting go of our own will, our own desires, our own rights? Is our lives marked with gratitude and praise? Because when all those things are happening, we can have confidence that we are walking in God's will and pleasing Him. Amen? So when we set goals, when we think about 2022, let's live in this, church, and we know we're going to be okay. We're trusting the Lord. We're not leaning on our own understanding. We're acknowledging Him. We're praising Him. We're worshiping Him in every aspect of our lives. And He will make straight our paths spiritually. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank You for who You are and what You've done. And Lord, we want to be a faithful, pleasing church in Your kingdom. And Lord, sometimes this life, as You know, because You became a man, this life can be confusing and complicated, and we lose our way. We start trusting in ourselves or other people around us or governments or anything like that. Lord, we trust in men, and that's a sin. We need to trust in You and You alone. So Lord, would You help us to believe Your word? We want our lives to be filled with thankfulness and praise. And Lord, give us the faith that we need. Give us true joy. Give us mindset on heavenly things. And use us, Lord, to make disciples and make Your name great. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.